Kevin Guilmette and his mom, June, sit down at his kitchen table in Linwood to talk history, civil rights history.
I was just a baby. I was just a kid.
Guilmette was 15 in July 1963, but he was old enough to take part in Seattle's first civil rights sit-ins. He and 21 other young people, many of them teenagers, occupied city council chambers for 4 days. His memory is foggy, but he can still picture the initial confrontation.
I'm not leaving until you're going to make me leave. You know, and I think one of the police captain came out and said, well, then stay. Sit down and have, you know, floors are hard. Bye.
Then on July 25th, they were arrested. They were frustrated that city leaders were dragging their feet on ending racial discrimination in housing. Guilmette had firsthand experience. His dad was white. His mom is African-American. When they moved to Edmonds from New York in the mid-50s, his dad decided it might be better for him to buy the house, and he hands over the down payment.
And then the family moved in. Oh, my God. Are my eyes deceiving me? That's a black woman. It better be the maid. Oh, no, it's not the maid. It is the wife. And those are the little mulatto children running around. They came to us in Edmonds with $50,000 that the neighborhood had put together to rebuy the house.
The Guilmettes declined the neighbor's offer. They managed to settle in an all-white enclave, but the experience of Reverend Samuel McKinney was more common. He moved here in 1958 from the East Coast to take over as pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Then he went house hunting with his wife.
I would see a house and inquire about it. When people heard my voice, they asked me, are you colored? And asked them, what difference did that make? And then they would hang up.
Many properties had racial restrictions written into their deeds. The language sounds archaic. No part of this property shall ever be used by any Hebrew or a person of the Ethiopian, Malay, or Asiatic race. University of Washington history professor James Gregory says they were enforceable in court.
If I, as a property owner, wished to sell or rent to somebody who was not white, I could be sued by all the neighbors for doing so, and I could lose essentially my property.
In 1948, the U.S. Supreme Court said they were not enforceable, but housing discrimination persisted outside the city's central district. In 1963, activists led by Reverend McKinney pushed for an ordinance prohibiting discrimination in housing. Real estate interests testified against it.
We believe it will have a broad tendency to depress rents with its consequent reduction in economic values of real estate.
This opening housing ordinance is an attempt to deprive all of us of one of our basic democratic rights, which is to dispose of our property, both real and personal, as we see fit.
They were so worried that we would tear down what had been built up. We would not take care of the property and all like that, and we would attract elements to the community that were considered undesirable.
The city council decided not to vote on it. Instead, they put the measure on the ballot. History professor James Gregory says opponents called it a forced housing ordinance. One ad said, don't let them kick away your rights. Voters defeated the measure 2-1.
White Seattle basically turned its back on the desires of the communities of color for a fair shake in housing.
Not until 1968, 3 weeks after Dr. King was assassinated, did the city council vote to pass it. I asked Kevin Guilmette if he feels at all vindicated.
Did it feel at all like an accomplishment, you know? That these restrictive covenants had gone away, blah, blah, no?
No, because this is what the Constitution of the United States guarantees for everybody, and I have to fight for it. So when I do get it, I should be, thank you.
If anything, Guilmette feels frustrated that the things he worked so hard for are now under attack. He points to states such as North Carolina passing restrictive voting laws.
Certain factions in this country saying, well, if we're not going to vote for us, we're just not going to let you vote. Really? We're going to go back there and do that again? We already did that.
I'm sorry that the brother feels discouraged.
Reverend McKinney says you can't lose hope.
An old spiritual said, like, keep him moving along like a little inchworm. The struggle continues.
Even in housing in Seattle, that struggle continues. A study by the city in 2011 found illegal housing discrimination in more than half of the rental properties tested. Ashley Gross, KPLU News.